are now listening to the Serious Growth Podcast with your host, Leo Costa Jr.
Hey, y'all. Welcome to Serious Growth Podcast, where you never know what's going to happen. I guarantee it. Today, here's what I want to talk about. You know, there's not a lot of things. I'm 66 years old, going to be 67 here in May. And I can tell you this, now that I've lived this life, there aren't a lot of things that are really beneficial and something to look forward to as you're aging. You know, whoever said the golden years were golden, I think mostly are full of shit. I don't know who the fuck said that, but I think they're kind of full of shit. But I will say this. One thing for sure that happens as you get older, I mean, and this is like almost trumps all the stuff that's negative, you know, getting older. Because I'll tell you what, for those of you who haven't gotten older, you're going to be in pain like every fucking day. Just wrap your head around that. I mean, there's some supplements and things like that you can do to ease that. But if it ain't one thing, it's two. I can promise you that. And that's okay. If you can live long enough to have those aches and pains, that's a positive thing. That means you're still alive. And that's good. But one of the things that is like golden when you get older, especially if you're paying attention to your surroundings, meaning your life as well as what's going on around you, is that you get wisdom. That shit right there trumps almost everything else. It's amazing. I mean, I've gotten to the point now in so many areas, it's just like, especially around younger people, I just look at them and they have no idea, because you don't know what you don't know. They have no idea what's ahead for them. And I actually kind of do, because I've been down that road, and it's kind of interesting. Which leads me into, here's what I want you guys to do that are listening out there. And I don't care if your age is 8 years of age to my age now. One thing that you should know, and of course, what I'm saying here about people that are 8 years of age, when you're that young, you don't really know how your life is being impacted, how your history and how your story, your personal story is being written. You don't know that. You can't. And that's one of the beauties about life, is one of the choices that you can have is you can live life instead of life living you. And you know, something that seems like a pretty easy thing to do, and I think when you're younger, you know, you're young, and I think we have a tendency, I know I did, you know, you're young and dumb and you're carefree in a lot of ways. And I think that's really important. And I think that should be a part of life, because you experience things in a different way. Because when you get older, unfortunately and fortunately, you start thinking differently. You're not maybe as spontaneous as you once were. I'm not saying that's a good or bad thing. I'm not judging it that way. It's indifferent. It's not good. It's not bad. It's just something that we're pointing out. But here's what I can tell you. What I didn't know at the age of 8 was that my history was being written. My parents got divorced when I was a little bit younger than that, 6 or 7. But when I was 8 years of age, I was already facing adversity. Now, let's make sure that you understand that adversity, again, it's not necessarily a good or bad thing. It's how you respond to a lot of things in life that really makes the difference. You have to know that. And what I didn't know, but now that I'm looking back, is I was already facing adversity. Maybe we can use a different term, obstacles. And keep in mind that obstacles in your life will always be there, assuming that you're still around and living life. If you're, you know, held up in a room and you're afraid of everything and you're not living, okay, you're going to probably face fewer obstacles, but I guarantee you, you're going to be really unhappy and pretty pathetic, in my view. So at 8 years of age, I was already facing my first obstacle in life, and I didn't really know that. My parents were divorced, but fortunately, and I don't know how I got into it. You know, you don't know if you're an athlete or not, but fortunately at 8 years of age, I turned to sports. I remember that so clearly. And I remember how I first really got my appetite wet for sport was my dad took me to a college football game. In my town, it was a junior college. And he took me to that game. And I think that's where it all started for me. Those guys out on the field, they looked like gods to me. They were like bigger than life. I remember lining up at halftime. The fans would go down because we were a smaller town. So they let you go down there and you made a tunnel for the athletes like at halftime when they came out. When they went by me, I'll never forget that feeling that I had. It's like, oh my God, this is just so amazing. It captivated me. It took me somewhere. What it did is it created a diversion. I'm sorry. Something it took my mind off of what was bothering me about my parents being divorced. Cause you know, when you're young and your parents are split up, there's a certain amount of tension there. You know, it's not normal family life, you know, mom and dad being together, and it weighs on you a little bit. You don't know that. Cause when you're young, you're more resilient than sometimes parents think. But that's when I had faced my first obstacle. Sport. Going to those football games took me away from that. And it's really important at some point when you're dealing with obstacles to, you got to take obstacles head on and face them, but you also have to have time to not think about them. But nevertheless, at 8 years of age, what I started learning about life, and it was going to be a foundation of my life, is through sport, I started building a foundation of discipline and accountability. Yes, of course, my mom or dad were taking me to my practices. I wasn't getting there on my own, but it's just through that sport. That was the underlying life lesson that I was learning.
All right, let's take a quick break so I can tell you about our product.
Do you want a bone-crushing grip? Good, because you're going to get one with the amazing new TRS Gripper. It's a progressive grip builder with longer handles and a special ergonomic design that's like a dozen hand grippers in one. Start off easy and work your way up to quickly build your grip strength from wet noodle to pulverizing. The package includes a video from the world-famous strength coach, Dr. Russ Horine, the man who worked with Leo Costa to help bring you big beyond belief in the Bulgarian power burst. Dr. Horine shows you a simple and easy to follow workout plan that takes just minutes a day right from in front of your TV set if you want. So click on the link below and let's get started building you a stronger, firmer, bone-crushing grip.
And what a great life lesson to learn. I didn't know that in any way, how important discipline and accountability is. For those of us that are older, we start realizing that that is really important. So what you need to do as you're getting older, hopefully you become aware sooner than later, the life lessons that are being presented to you and built for you. But maybe you just shouldn't know that at certain ages. Okay. I don't know there'd be any way that I would have known that being that young. But the thing about this is you have to, me getting into sports saved me to some level. I was lucky. I wasn't someone who was just floating around, just not knowing, where I was going to be. So I'm really thankful for that. And so that was 8 years of age. That was my first, as I look back, because I think it's really important that we all look back, because looking back gives us an opportunity in our life. It gives us an opportunity to evaluate sort of where we have been and learn from some of the things that have gone on in our life. Some people are afraid to look back. They don't want to face that. And some people look back too much and they obsess about it. That's not good either, but it can be a valuable tool. If you'll look back, just look back in your life, and you don't have, like I said, even if it's 10 minutes a day, here's what I would recommend that you do. 10 minutes every single day. sit down or you can walk. You want to do something that you don't have to physically think about. When you're walking, it's pretty easy just to let go. And you'll be amazed at what happens to the what happens in your brain. You know, you have these different zones, alpha, beta, theta. These are different like brain waves in your head. And the one that where you don't have to think, I think it's theta, if I'm not mistaken. This is just where you're just totally in a relaxed state. You can walk, you can just sit down, but I urge you to take 10 minutes out of your day. It's a form of meditation. I do it every single day. I mean, I come to my own gym in the morning before anybody is there. And that doesn't mean that you have to do it at a gym. You can do it anywhere. Find that place where you can just have peace and quiet. Be alone with yourself for 10 minutes. And don't try to think about anything. Let the thoughts come to you. So this is not an exercise in like, what should I think about? Just sit there and you'll see what happens. All of a sudden, thoughts will come into your head. I get some of my best ideas for the things that I do creatively in those 10 minutes. I call it magic at 4 a.m. I'm actually up at 3, but 4 a.m. But the point is that I'm up really early. Nobody's around. Nobody's around to bother me. No distractions. That's where some of the magic happens. I learned that. And I wish I would have learned it sooner. But it doesn't matter because I learned it. I'm the guy that's trying to shorten the curve for you. Just like as a personal trainer, I try to shorten the learning curve for you when you come to me asking that you want to reach a certain goal. I'm that guy to shorten that learning curve. I'm doing the very same thing here, except I'm doing it not with training. Because it starts in your head, your brain. Okay, that's the thing that's above your shoulders, generally speaking, your head and your mind, is the most powerful thing in the world. And it's learning how to be aware of it. It's learning how to trust what's going on in your head. And start learning what some of the signs are. And just, you got to learn that communication is my point. You know, in bodybuilding, we have to it's called instinctive or intuitive. We have to trust that our intuition and to have the keen instinct. And those things are hard to trust sometimes because number one, we just are not comfortable with that. We're not used to that language. It's more of a nonverbal language. We're not really used to that. So when we have this things that come through that kind of goes against maybe how we're naturally wired, we're not comfortable with that. And we're afraid to act on that. And I say this, life is just nothing more than a big rehearsal. You know, in bodybuilding, what we did in order to be really effective is that we would do workouts, and if we were preparing for a competition, I'll get back to, I guess, the point that I'm making here. As we're preparing for a competition, you want to get as close to mimicking how that competition is going to be as far as how you're preparing your body, mind and body for that event. And the mistake that a lot of bodybuilders make is that they do a certain training regimen. And then at the very last minute, the last week or the last couple of days, they do something to their body that they never tried. Something that was very common in bodybuilding was that all of a sudden, the last day or so before the event, we do carb depletion and carb load. Listen, if you have never done that to your body, even though that you've had a regimen up to that point, your body is so specific in the way it adapts to its environment, it applies across the board. I mean, once you day or so, I can't tell you how many people did that thinking that it was going to make them better, which is the ultimate goal, is to make us better for the show in this case. In more cases than not, people, it was a disaster. They crash landed into an event they wanted to be at their best. Okay, so that's the example I'm using for bodybuilding. But think about it this way. How about in life we just do that? How about if we looked at life like we do creating a training regimen, which includes weight training, cardio, nutrition? It always revolves around those three components. And those three components are always, in your life, will impact your life. exercise, which includes weight resistance training and cardio, and nutrition. Those are three components: resistance training, cardio, nutrition. They will impact your life at every stage of the game. It impacts your life when you're a youngster, and hopefully if you're a parent to your kid, you want to make sure that you're making sure that your kid gets has a healthy diet and is active enough. I mean, how is that really different than someone who's like the person that's, you know, getting ready for a competition? Okay, so you have to start developing that foundation, which is what we do in bodybuilding. There's a certain way that we develop that foundation. You just can't go hog wild and think that you're going to build a foundation. And this is where so many people get messed up, I think, not only in bodybuilding, but in life, because they don't want to do the work. You have to be patient, and you have to realize that this is all about baby steps. Whether if you're a bodybuilder or you're now a young person that's developing, like I did, the discipline and accountability, that took a lot of time to do, 8 years of age. And I stayed in it. So it's important to continually sit down for 10 minutes, back to what we were talking about. Look back. Take the things that are positive, because listen, everything is going to change for you as you're going along. That's just life. Life is constantly changing. You have to be comfortable with changing. There's never an end point unless you totally quit. But if you're staying in the game, bodybuilding, or just in your life, there's going to be obstacles along the way. That's what life is. It's all about overcoming and learning how to take an obstacle, flip it over, and turn it into a success. That's all really life is. But you got to be willing to tolerate some setbacks, because it's going to happen. It has to happen. You have to fail to get better. So failure has to look different. It's not that failure is bad. It's the way that we're looking at it. The value of, you know, how we're judging that. It's always about that. What are you going to do with your setback? Look back and find out the things that you did right, but also look back and find out the things that you could have done better. And then now we're moving from looking back to getting into the present, where you're at currently, and say, okay, I'm going to bring some of the good stuff from my past into the present. I'm going to take some of the things that weren't so good, but I'm not going to just necessarily toss them. Some of those things you have to toss, but there's some things that you can use that really didn't work out so well, that all that it really needed was an adjustment. Maybe physically it was an adjustment that you had to make. Probably more the kind of adjustment that you had to make mentally and emotionally. Those are two different things, by the way. Bring that into the present, okay? And now, ask yourself, because you always have to ask yourself, where am I going with this? What am I doing? I think that ultimately, the life that you build, everything that you get yourself into, like in this case, for me, it was sport. Sport was an extension of who I was. Sport, bodybuilding, became an extension of who I was. So that is something that is very consistent that kept coming through with me. I didn't know that I was instinctively doing this. It was a good thing. You know, why couldn't I have been aware of that sooner? You know why? Because you have to live life. You have to become wise. You have to get that wisdom. And wisdom is not for everybody. It's for those that want to do the work. Whether if you're doing the work to build a better body, or if you're doing the work to build a better person, a better version of yourself. It's one and the same. Think about it in those terms. So when you're in the present, ask yourself. You have to question yourself. That's not a negative thing. That's just, and I would say, look in the mirror, because it's important to be honest with yourself. That's the reason that, you know, the using the mirror as a way of holding yourself accountable, and just be real with yourself. Okay, why in this present moment, what am I doing? Why am I doing it? And how can I make the present as productive as I possibly can, physically and emotionally? Hopefully I'm getting through to you guys that this is not all just about as it relates to sport. It's more of a life lesson that will take you through. I know that because I've had setbacks, a lot of them. In that moment, I am now sitting. I'm doing the same thing. Sit for 10 minutes. Ideally, before the day begins, sit. After the day is over, in my mind, because there's so much information and so much information that you've gotten, I don't know if you have the kind of, I don't have the clarity at the end of the day that I do at the beginning of the morning. Sit every day for 10 minutes, for fuck's sake. Make that an exercise. Sit and just let your mind relax. Let ideas and let the thoughts come floating in and just start paying attention to that. Go with it. Don't fight it. Enjoy it. What I like to do when I'm in those moments is when I get these ideas that, okay, I think, okay, I can feel like this is a great idea, because you'll know, I've heard this before and I've actually experienced this. Sometimes I just know when things are right. Just like sometimes I know when things are just, they don't feel quite right. That's your body, your inner physiology, which includes mind and body, talking to you, talking to us. There's an ongoing dialogue. We just don't pay attention to some of this stuff. I haven't over the years. In fact, I bypassed what my body was trying to tell me. A lot of times I end up paying for that injury. Again, because it's hard to trust. You're in the present. Do the same things you did when you were looking back. Now we're building a regimen. 10 minutes. I'm going to repeat this into nauseam, because that's how important it is. I know that because I've lived life now. I'm telling you, it's important. Don't discount it. Act on it. Okay. Question where you're at in your present, and now look forward. You don't have to look forward too much, because looking forward, like, okay, where do I want to go? What's the end goal? If you look too far ahead, it's too difficult. It's like trying to read tea leaves. You know, we used to have a Ouija board. I don't know if you guys remember that. You're probably too. Some of you are too young. And it's just like, you're looking into the future and it's more of a guess. Okay. Don't get too far out. The point is that, but look into the future and have an idea as to what you think that you want to do. Don't make things too concrete, because it might, again, the reason why I'm telling you that is because things are constantly changing. You'll have obstacles that keep getting in your way if you're too regimented. And that's the reason why I'm saying not be too regimented. If you're too regimented, sometimes you're incapable of changing because you get too locked in. You know, a guy like me, and I'm sure there's others of you like this, you have a strong mindset. And sometimes when you get locked in on something, it's very hard to let go of that. And that can be very detrimental. And yet, you know, you would think my objective side, when I'm in that moment, I almost feel like I'm in a hole. I'm so locked in, you know, that I don't want to take another stance. I'm locked in. I'm so regimented. You know, that's the beauty of having a strong mindset is that, you know, you're persistent, you're disciplined, and it's virtually impossible for anything to break you. But that's not always the right approach. So don't get too regimented, and yet be regimented enough to where you have the ability to, I call, modify on the fly. I came up with that term. I'm sure it's been around. There's no original thought, really. But I came up with that when I was working with clients. When I first started personal training, I really didn't know what the hell I was doing. I mean, I learned from the ground up. I trained myself first. And I think that's very important, because true knowledge is through first-hand experience. It's hard to replace that. My dad told me that shit. I thought he was full of it. And he was so right. He was so right. Don't discount what older people know. They are right, because they've lived life. But so don't get too regimented. Modify on the fly. When I was utilizing that principle was when I was going into gyms. And I had this for my clients, because I didn't own my own business at that time. So I'd go into other gyms. I leveraged those gyms when I had a client. I have a client sign up at that gym. I really worked out a deal with the gym owner. Said, look, is it okay if I get you a client that brings you some money, but I would like to train them? And they agreed to it at that point until I got really busy and then they got greedy. Another story. But what I had to learn about that is when I was in somebody else's gym, unlike the personal training studio that I've owned now studios for 40 years, I didn't have a lot of control inside there. In other words, there are people that were in there, not working just with personal trainers. Most of those people in those gyms that I was in during those days, they were just coming in like they still do now, like a Gold's Gym. And, you know, they're not working with a trainer. They're doing it on their own. But the downside of that was I have people all around me and I have a client. And I still remember I scripted my workouts early on 40 years ago. Because I wanted to make sure, you know, that client always got a great workout. But I learned something, again, a valuable lesson. And it's a lesson in life. When I got into that gym and all of a sudden people were sitting on the equipment that I was potentially using, because I did circuit training back then, real small circuits like I do now. And all of a sudden I got inside this gym environment where there's all kinds of other people around using the equipment, sitting on the equipment. It messed up my routine for my client, because I had this routine really scripted. Right there was a life lesson in personal training with a client. It's like, oh shit, I can't control necessarily what's going on in the gym. Just like sometimes you just can't control what's going on around in your life. So to focus on what I couldn't control, think about that for a moment. And as it relates to just our personal life, if you're focusing on things that you really can't control, you've already lost. You can't control it. I'm not saying that you just say, oh, I can't control it, but you really can. This is like a legit, I can't control it. It's like, I can't control the weather. I can't. So, I mean, should I spend a lot of time focusing on trying to control the weather? Doesn't make any sense, does it? Well, the same thing applied inside that gym. I couldn't control those clients. So what I had to do is I had to modify on the fly. I had to make an adjustment like we always have to do in life. You're always going to have to make an adjustment. Get used to it. In that case, people that were in my way was a bad thing. You could probably see that. And I took it that way. It's like, shit, I was frustrated. Fucked me up. If I stayed in that lane, how productive am I going to be as a trainer for my client? I can't control that, except for the fact that I can adjust. I can adjust. I can go around. In that scenario, that is the obstacle. I can go around the obstacle. And here's what I learned. Here's how I actually applied it to the circuit training that I was doing with my client. Because what I would do is I would have you, for example, I'd have you, I'd like you to do a chest press. I'm just going to make some body parts and exercises up. I want you to do a chest press in a circuit. And I want you to do a chest press, a shoulder press, and a tricep in that order. Well, when I came back to do that, somebody was there. Now what are you going to do? So here's what I learned. And again, keep in mind, as it relates to setting up people on a fitness program, which is predominantly what I was, that's the majority of people that I've always trained. I have trained all the athletes, but especially back then, it was more fitness related. Anybody that knows their stuff knows that when it comes to fitness, order of exercise doesn't matter. And if you think it does, you don't know what you're talking about. I promise you. For fitness, order of exercise. So what I would do then is if I did that one circuit where I had access to those three exercises, then round number two, my chest press was being used. I just changed the order of my circuit. It didn't matter where I started. I could start with triceps first. I could start with shoulders first. It didn't matter. Do you see what happens? How that expanded my universe to all of a sudden that would make not only me as a trainer productive, it would make the client productive. And I wasn't compromising their result. It's one thing if you're changing something and it compromises the end result. You see, my goal for my client was always to get the best results. That was still happening. Think about life. Isn't life a lot the same? You know, you all of a sudden you are, let me just use a poor example, but all of a sudden you are going through a breakup. Maybe it's a divorce. Maybe you got dumped. You can see how that would set you back and how that would put you in the dumps. And that would be an obstacle. I think for most people, the reason why I use those two examples, because that pretty much sets people back emotionally, some for a long time. Can't get around it. Can't get over it. No one said this was going to be easy. No one said life was going to be easy. It's not supposed to be. That's where you hear sometimes it's not for the weak-hearted. But it is for those who are wanting to stay in the game. You know, because I promise you now, I'm talking to you as a guy at 66 years of age. I've had those breakups. And I'm not mentioning that and not knowing what that feels like. Oh, I know. Just like I know as a personal trainer, when I go to train my client, I know exactly what you're going to feel and think. I have that kind of experience. But so much of this is just like life. Come up with a different way. Go back to those 10 minutes. You just sit there. You'll be surprised. If you really are that person that's looking for a solution, because some people aren't. They're not. They don't want to find the solution, because you know why? Because that means that you're going to have to take action. And some people don't really want to face that action. Why? Because it's a lot of work. There's so many baby steps that you have to take in order to get around the obstacles of life, whether it be your personal life, whether it be in the gym. I'm going to leave that right there. Your homework, people, listen. Develop a habit, but don't make it something so overwhelming that you cannot possibly succeed, because that's what a lot of people do. Less is more. All I'm asking you to do, sit for 10 minutes every single day. Let your mind, let those brain waves relax until you get into that zone where you're just not really having to think about anything, and be comfortable with that. And start paying attention to what's floating into your head. And just pick up the things that speak to your heart, I guess, or the inside of you, mind and body. And then act on those things. Less is more. It takes 21 days to start to develop a routine. It's a marathon, not a sprint. We've always heard that in bodybuilding. Life is the same way. Hopefully, I've given you some tools that you can use. And until next time, go get some serious growth. Not just physically, growth like as in emotional growth, emotional intelligence. Build your emotional resistance. Grow from the inside out, and you'll be amazed at how much you can accomplish. Till next time.
Thanks for listening to the Serious Growth Podcast. For more episodes like the one you just listened to, subscribe to us on your mobile podcast app and leave us a review. If you'd like to reach out, you can find us online at seriousgrowth.com. Until next time, train smart and train hard.